Sportscast. Thanksgiving week, Monday, November 25th. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, Periscope, YouTube, and iTunes. And if you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net. This episode is brought to you by InstaBible app. Download the InstaBible app for on iPhone. Share a verse and share it to the world. Oregon versus Arizona State, a game that a lot of pundits, some pundits, and even some people in the sports cast were worried about. Tyler wasn't as worried. He was a little confident. They lost against Arizona State. And it was 31-28. The score looked close, but majority of the game, Arizona State was leading. And to join us to rant a little bit about Duck football and Justin Herbert, the one and only, welcome back to the sports guy, Tyler Turner.
What's up, dude? So did someone from the sportscast pick Arizona State to win?
Well, Justin Riley, we were talking in private, and he was concerned about this game as well. He didn't say Arizona State was going to win it, but he did mention this could be a trap game for Oregon.
That's right.
and you were saying it. Like, you were hearing some pundits across the internet that they were picking them.
Yeah. Martin Simmons, John Wilner,
Well, it came to be.
Yeah, well, they're right.
31-28. It was at the desert, Arizona State. It was the last before last game of the college football season. Tyler, give us your recap, your synopsis.
Okay, well, so the game started off. And Oregon was playing very well, was running the ball well. They got out to a 7-0 lead. Then Jaden Daniels hit, Frank Darby, whatever. I'm still bad with names. I need to do something about this. But something Darby, the wide receiver for a 53-yard touchdown. So then it was 7-7, but then Oregon just runs right down the field again. Was that in the goal line, and they decided to go up fourth down, and the play that they called, I did not like it, because it was obviously the best player of the offensive line is on the left hand side, and that's Maysoul, and you could tell that they were going to run it that way. So then Arizona State flipped the corner, and he made the tackle, so stopped them at the 5-yard line. They also, they probably should have just kicked field goals, the funeral kicker also missed 20-yard field goal last week, his second miss like that of the year. So, well, anyways, the rest of the half, I believe by halftime it was 10-7, maybe 13-7. Arizona State definitely seemed to gain momentum. They weren't able to put in the end zone a couple times when they got down to the Oregon side of the field, but were able to gain a lot of yards. And then suddenly the offense for Oregon started looking anemic. And why was that? Well, Mr. Supposedly All-Everything was throwing screen passes into the dirt. Wide-open receivers on the sideline was throwing it 5 yards over their head. Guys on out route was throwing it about 10 yards in front of them. And so the passing game became pretty anemic because Herbert wasn't playing well. And then they also, the offensive coordinator, I thought, got a little cute. He ran a reverse play that didn't work out. I don't know why he was running reverse. They had just had a couple really positive games. I just felt like they should have stayed with the run game a little bit more. Anyways, second half, they get the ball, don't do anything, and then the defense had a couple good stops, forced them to punt. And then I think it was like end of the third quarter, Herbert just did a terrible interception. I mean, he was late on the throw. Then, because he was late, he shouldn't have thrown it or thrown it out of bounds. Just threw it right to Jack Jones' corner. And the play after that, I believe it was Darby or Ayuk again that was able to get a 25-yard touchdown. Again, a corner was on this play that was just beaten. So the one play was a 53-yard touchdown. Safety was beaten. This play was 23. The corner was beaten. Herbert gets the ball back. The very first play of the series, throws an interception. Once again, threw it into, like, double coverage. The play was not open. He was late again on his throw. And I turned the game off. I turned it off. I'm like, because it was at the fourth quarter at that point. I'm like, screw that. Literally, Oregon is just throwing the game away. Justin Herbert is just playing like garbage. So I'm turning this crap off. So I turned it off. But all of a sudden, you and other people are texting me. And it's like, well, they just scored.
They're coming back.
And then I was like, whatever. 24-14. I'm like, they scored. Probably the defense took the pedal off. Well, then all of a sudden, I like look online and it's like, Oregon has the ball back. So then I like turn and I literally turned the game on and it was like that. It was, they were scoring as I turned the game on. So.
Perfect timing.
And I'm like, what? It was 24-21. What did you say, man?
Perfect timing.
Yeah. Oh, this is something about Herbert. I'm like, he didn't do anything good. Anyways, but then he threw a touchdown. And then, so it's 24-21. I was freaking out. My wife was there. I was like, they're going to freaking win this game. And then they kicked the ball back. First play was a penalty. Second play was like 4 or 5 yard gain. Then they had a sack. It was 3rd and 16. And this was inexcusable by the defense. They let the wide receiver, Brandon Ayuk, go right by them. 81-yard touchdown. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? You make this comeback. You have them in 3rd and long, deep in their own territory. And then just like that, they score an 80-yard touchdown. Well, they kicked the ball back. Oregon, again, drove right down the field in like 1.5 minutes. And then they tried an onside kick. It didn't work. But if they could have gotten them a fourth down, they had 2 timeouts. They probably could have gotten the ball back with about 1 minute left. They would have drive the whole field. But the defense didn't do it. Defense did not stop Eno Benjamin. And Arizona State ran the clock out, and that was the game. So, yep.
Well,
so Oregon, second loss of the year. Almost, most probably out of the playoffs, even though I did think of a scenario in my head, believe it or not. Possibly they could get in. But I don't know. Whatever. It'd be so out. Like, okay, if you're trying to hear a scenario. Alabama loses to Auburn. Oklahoma loses to Oklahoma State. But then Oklahoma beats Baylor. So then you have a 2-loss Big 12 champion. LSU beats Georgia. Ohio State wins out and wins the Big Ten. LSU beats Georgia. LSU wins out, wins the SEC. Clemson wins out, wins the ACC. So Ohio State, Clemson, and LSU would be in. But then, in the scenario that I was thinking, obviously Georgia's losing again. Alabama's losing again. Oklahoma's losing again. And if Oregon won out and won the Pac-12, it would probably be between a 2-loss Pac-12 champion, 2-loss Big 12 champion, and a couple 2-loss SEC non-champions. So who would get in that scenario?
Oregon.
I don't know. But I don't think that. I mean, that's the stars aligning, and it's probably not going to happen.
Of course.
If it did, Oregon might get in, maybe. But if that crazy scenario happens.
Oregon,
go ahead.
Oregon has 2 more games, everyone. They have Oregon State Beavers, the rivalry for rivalry weekend this weekend. And then they got the Pac-12 championship, which they're in, and they're playing Utah. What does Oregon need to do against Oregon State?
Well, I mean, just play good. play good. Can't play like they did the other night. I mean, if they play like, I mean, Oregon State beat Arizona State like 2 weeks ago. Arizona State's like a middle of the road Pac-12 team. So if Oregon plays like they did last week, they could lose to probably every team in the Pac-12.
Something that...
I was just so... The thing that just surprises me is you have so much on the line that they came out there and they just looked flat. They just did not look inspired. I don't know. Even on defense, they just were not flying around. They did not look like this team normally has a lot of like juice, energy. That's kind of what supposedly the mantra of. But this happened last year. It happened when they played Washington State and Arizona last year. The team looked flat, lost two games in a row. I don't know. Now, I tell you what, it's worrisome. If they come out and lose this week against Oregon State, call me really on the fence with Cristobal. In back-to-back years, if all of a sudden the team just, like, lets a season where they're in the playoff hunt, like, go right down the drain, I think it's time to just something. I mean, you can sit there and blame kids and whatever, because they have more talent than anyone but USC in the Pac-12. And they're definitely way more talented than Oregon State. I mean, Arizona State, granted, Arizona State, and I think I mentioned this, does have a little more talented roster probably than they. I think on paper they're like the fifth most talented roster, sixth, whatever. It's pretty close, like between. I think UCLA might have a little bit of edge, but it's pretty close between UCLA and Arizona State. But they're probably towards the top end of Pac-12 when it comes to talent on the roster. Like Jaden Daniels is a top 100 quarterback coming out of high school and stuff like that. So, Eno Benjamin was an Army All-American. So they have a little more talent than most of the Pac-12 teams. So. I could see playing flat against them on the road. That's a game that, yeah, they seem to have enough talent to win, and they did. Now, Oregon State is at Oregon, and Oregon State's not even as talented as Arizona State. So probably to pull off the upset, Oregon would probably have to play worse than they did last week. But, I mean, last year they lost to a terrible Arizona team and got killed. Like midway through the season, right after they had gotten to the top 10 of the rankings and it was looking like they were going to possibly be a playoff team. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the makeup of this team is and see how really good the culture is. If it's another second year of imploding, worrisome.
Yeah.
And then, of course, they have Utah. And Utah's good. I just don't know if they're going to be Utah, to be honest with you. I just don't know if they're going to be them.
And that game will be in Levi Stadium. Last year, Oregon lost three of they lost like their last three games last season. So of course, Tyler's kind of referencing to what happened last year. And my thoughts about Cristobal, if he leaves,
they didn't lose the last three. They lost a couple games in the middle of the season.
Okay. And with Cristobal,
they actually won their last three.
Miami will love to take Cristobal if Oregon decides to part ways.
I guess, sure.
Looking at Justin Herbert, obviously he is talked around town. The number one quarterback to be drafted next season. He did not play well under pressure this past game. What do you think about his stock going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I'm at the point where, and I've been the biggest defender of the guy, and I have, like, defended him, and, I've even, said he's had some weaknesses here, but I thought he got better. But you know what? There's just too much inconsistent play. He's just too you have the people at Oregon, some people will defend him until they're blue in the face. Like, he's this great kid. No one's saying he's not a great kid. That's a red herring. Like, what does that have to do with him? Okay. Or his play? And some people are like, well, it's his wide receivers. Okay. It's his offensive coordinator. Oh, he's played under three different offenses. And it's all good and dandy. But there, at the end of the day, it's like a player is a player. If he's a good football player, he'll be good under any system. He will make plays to help his team win. He won't not do things that makes this, put his team in bad positions. And it just seems when I really notice it with Herbert is when, okay, so I'm trying to think of what is his psychology? Something is wrong. I notice if little things are off, it completely throws him off. Like his starting center went out, I think was a possible, I think he was in concussion protocol. So they were playing backup center. So he was snapping the ball a little different. It was weird. He was throwing the ball like really slow. But a good player adjusts, and you just do whatever it takes. If it was Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or Russell Wilson or a guy like that, it's like, you know what? Well, I got a different center. It doesn't matter. You just got to play. But little things, just you could see it throw him off. If he had a couple wide receivers, sir. His starting slot receiver, Jalen Redd, was out, along with the guy that was kind of the backup, one of the main backups, Micah Pittman, were out, two of his receivers. And you could tell that he just didn't feel comfortable because these weren't his receivers he was used to throwing to. But it's like you have to make everything perfect for him. And that's why, how is he going to be successful in the NFL? How is he going to be successful in a franchise if he goes to a franchise that's bad? And you know, he's getting pressured and stuff. And that's another thing. When he gets pressured, the thing is, get pressure. You escape out of the pocket, throw the ball away. 4 years in, he still takes sacks. Brian Glaze, who talks to us on Twitter, did the YouTube. He showed an example of that. I mean, get out of the pocket, throw the ball away. You don't just take a sack and lose 7 yards. He doesn't even try to run. He just took the sack. And he does that over and over. He does that. He's done that probably in about 7-8 games this year. And it's just those things. And then there'll be guys running routes, and they have to be perfectly, totally open. He can't just be a little open. He has to wait for them. If they aren't, sometimes he won't throw the ball. Or he'll be like he was in the second half, way late, where the ball's getting picked off. And he could have been picked off a couple other times. There was actually dropped interceptions to them. He could that. And I know Justin, I think, said it. But, well, he came back in the end. No, he didn't. He was throwing screen passes to Johnny Johnson III. And Johnny Johnson III was on a mission that night. He's from Phoenix, Arizona. His best friend, his childhood teammate, was a cornerback guard named Chase Lucas. And I don't know if you've ever done it, but I've played my friend. And all of a sudden, if you get hot on your friend, you could throw that ball to you all day and you're going to beat your friend. And you could tell. He had his friend's number that day. And he threw a screen pass. Johnson ran like 40 yards. He was threw a behind a bad pass. Johnny rushed out of nowhere and grabbed it. Johnny juked him and went long and caught a pass. I mean, Johnson was just playing out of his mind. It wasn't like people were like, well, Herbert came back. No, he basically was ridiculously making plays. And Herbert, I guess, didn't screw it up. He screwed up other screen passes. There was like two or three other screen passes that he literally threw in the dirt. I don't know how you can miss a screen pass. So Herbert was terrible. And I was watching on this camp, because actually when I went back and started watching the game, I watched it online. There's like this ESPN cam. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Where you like, I've never seen it. So you're not listening to the announcers. You're actually watching the game.
Yeah,
you
like hear the play-by-play. It's called the ESPN PIP camera or something, where you're able to choose what camera angle from the bench or from like the other teams. Yeah, it's great.
And you actually hear the guy, and you're hearing like the loudspeaker. It feels like you're in the stadium.
Yeah, and I've seen it in soccer and also college football. So,
okay, I've never seen it before. I actually ended up stuck on the cam, but it was like I was watching when I came back. And that Johnny Johnson III, you could tell the way he was acting. That I was surprised they didn't put him on defense, because you could tell if he was getting that ball, he was going to be scoring, because he was playing against his buddy at home and where he's from, and he was not going to be denied. And then I'm like, where's Herbert? And all of a sudden I see Herbert. Johnson goes over and says something to him. So he's walking. Herbert is like way away from his teammates.
That's not good.
Like nowhere near it. Just like standing there. And Johnson was like up in teammates' faces, like encouraging them, like, give me another stop. And Oregon still looked flat. Like, even when I was seeing the comeback, I was looking at the defense. It looked flat. And then I was like, Herbert, he's not talking to anyone, not encouraging anyone. He's just standing over there by himself. And I'm like, dude, like, I don't care if you're quiet. You don't have to be the biggest raw, raw guy. But you can't be, like, super aloof, like, disconnected, like, and I almost didn't think about it as part of the I don't know. His shtick is getting old. I mean, I've rooted for him, I've cheered him, I've defended him, but I don't know.
I ain't more.
I'm ready to go. Tyler Shock, he's been in the program a couple years, and we played the spring game when he played in the garbage time of like four or five games this year and last year. He looked good, so. And I heard good reports from practice reports and stuff, so he's supposed to be a pretty good player. So I'm just ready for him to get going.
We'll see what happens with the future of Justin Herbert, of course. He has two more games to prove to NFL scouts. He'll be drafted, obviously, but we don't know in what
position.
Well, then
he's probably going to play in the bowl game.
And the bowl game, which you think it's – what's your prediction right now?
Well, I mean, if they win the Pac-12, they go to the Rose Bowl. If they lose – if Utah somehow made the Pac-12, then actually Oregon probably would fall into the Rose Bowl still, which would be kind of lucky. But then they'd be, like, lost two of their last three games. I don't know. But if they probably lose, I don't think Utah – Utah's going to have to – I think Oklahoma, Alabama, and Georgia all have to lose for Utah to get in. But they might. And if they all lose, Utah would get into the playoff if they won. Otherwise, it would be – Oregon, if they won, then it's probably Oregon in the Rose, and then probably Utah goes to the Cotton Bowl. And then the last scenario is Utah to the Rose Bowl and Oregon to the Alamo Bowl, which Alamo Bowl, honestly, would be such a – after it'd be that play. It's not a New Year's Six game. That'd be a real downer for the season. I got a feeling the guys – it would be very tough to get those guys up after almost being in the playoffs to go into the Alamo Bowl. I don't know.
I just
think the Rose Bowl – you're going to be pretty – Rose Bowl is probably the most famous bowl.
Oh, yeah, very prestigious.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the granddaddy of them all. So no matter if it's not in the playoff, I just think you're going to probably play pretty good at the Rose Bowl. It's prestigious. You have the Rose Parade, and it is where the Pac-12 champion and the Big Ten champion have gone for decades. So I believe a Rose Bowl, they'd be fine. I think they'd come out. I just think the Alamo Bowl, I could totally see a scenario where they go in there and they don't play very well and lose to a team that's not even that good, and which would be just such a – that would be such bad momentum to end the year. But we'll see. I'm not really, first you're going to beat Oregon State, but I'm not, I don't know.
You're pessimistic.
Utah. Yeah, because I think Utah's pretty good. I was worried at first. A lot will depend. If they come out and lose to Oregon State, they're not going to beat Utah. They're going to lose three in a row. And, yeah, they'll probably go to the Alamo Bowl. If they come out and give Oregon State a whooping, then what could have been was like a fire, and these guys are like, we're finishing this year strong, and I could totally see them coming out, beating Utah, and then winning the Rose. And then the other scenario is eking out a victory over Oregon State just because they're more talented, and then losing to Utah. So, I don't know. A lot. I mean, it looked like we're going to get into the playoffs. Then all we had to do was win, and that didn't happen.
A win against Oregon State would be great for Oregon. It would lift their spirits and hopefully focus on the tougher Utah that we played at Levi Stadium for the Pac-12 championship. And this weekend is rivalry weekend. A lot of these rivalries go on for years. I mean, you know, not hundreds of years, but maybe 100 years old back. But let's start with game predictions. Are you ready?
Yep.
Let's start with Texas A&M at LSU.
You know, A&M played a little better last week. They still seem to be offensive challenged. I thought they might knock off Georgia. Well, I did. I picked them to knock off Georgia. They didn't. I'm not going to pick them to knock off LSU. part of me does worry that LSU looks ahead to Georgia, but I don't know. We'll see. But I'm going to go LSU.
Ohio State at Michigan. Big game of the weekend.
I don't know why I have this feeling. It, like, Michigan, for one, is playing really well. Two, it's at Michigan. Three, it's the biggest rivalry in college football, probably. The most, the longest, most prestigious. Ohio State has the division, the Big Ten East, locked up. They're going to the Big Ten Championship. Are they going to be as motivated for this game as Michigan? I think Ohio State's better.
On paper.
I'm going to go crazy. I think Michigan upsets them, which probably means Michigan will go to the Rose Bowl then.
Against Oregon.
Oregon or Utah, which would be a pretty remarkable turnaround for a team that at the beginning of the year was, like, not doing good, and they're saying it's Jim Harbaugh out, to now maybe upsetting Ohio State and making the Rose Bowl. That would be a pretty fantastic turnaround by Michigan.
Clemson at South Carolina.
Clemson.
Georgia at Georgia Tech.
Georgia.
Alabama at Auburn, the Iron Bowl.
It's at Auburn. It's a really good defense. I don't trust Bo Nix a ton, but, you know, at home he's played much better. And Mac Jones, all he's played his second half of a couple games and against a couple duds. They do have a lot of playmakers, but he's going to have to make some plays. I think Auburn wins.
Wow.
I think Auburn, I thought they would get somebody. I picked them to get Georgia. They didn't get them. But I'm going to pick them to get Alabama.
Before we move forward, now with Oregon losing, does Alabama have a chance to get into the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. If Alabama wins out and Utah wins out and wins the Pac-12, I don't know. I could just see them saying, like, for one, Alabama would have, well, they both would have a top 20. I don't know. It'd be close between Alabama and Utah. Oklahoma, if they win out, will have, like, four top 25 victories.
Three teams.
Like, if Oklahoma, Alabama, and Utah all win out, I would lean towards Oklahoma. Even though I don't really want to see them. They don't play defense. And they've also barely won all these games. Had to come back to beat Baylor. Had to stop Iowa State on the last-second two-point conversion. Had to stop TCU at the end to win by four. I think they lose Oklahoma State. Oh, that's probably a prediction you're going to ask me, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well,
I think Oklahoma
wins. Okay. I'll put it down. Colorado at Utah.
Oklahoma State.
Got it. Okay.
No, I think Oklahoma State upset them.
How about Colorado at Utah?
You know, Colorado's actually playing really good. They beat Washington. They're playing much better, and they do have, like LaVisca Snell's the first-round draft pick. And the one other game that two games they struggled, the one they lost to USC, and the other one was to, they were behind Washington, was they have small corners. It was the one corner, Guidry, is really small, and one of their safeties is, and they have trouble with big athletic wide receivers. They had trouble with Michael Pittman, Tyler Vaughn through USC. They had trouble with Hunter Bryan, who's kind of like a wide receiver slash. And they made plays early on, and it actually basically won USC. That's what won USC the game, was these big wide receivers catching these long passes over these smaller guys. So LaVisius Chenault could make some plays. I just don't think they beat them in Utah. And another thing is Utah going to be looking ahead to the Pac-12 championship? But I think Utah wins. I think it might be a little closer than people expect. I think Utah might not quite have the performance people expect. But and I think Chenault makes some plays. But I think Utah wins.
Gators at the Noles.
Gators.
Wisconsin at Minnesota.
You know what? I thought all along I was going to pick Wisconsin. I was going to pick Wisconsin to make the Big Ten championship. But College Game Day is going to be in Minnesota. They're going to be amped up again. Wisconsin has not looked that good the last couple times I've seen them. Their passing game is really not very good. Jonathan Taylor's a great running back. But I think Minnesota gets them. I think Minnesota makes the Big Ten championship.
Taylor at Kansas.
Who?
Baylor.
Oh, you said Baylor.
At Kansas. No, Baylor. Baylor. Yeah, at Kansas.
Yeah, you said Taylor. I'm like,
oh,
what?
No. Sorry, Baylor.
No. Yeah. Baylor.
Rutgers at Penn State.
That's it.
Oregon State at Oregon.
I'm going with what I hope. I could see this game going like three different ways. I could see the bubble burst, Oregon State, who's playing pretty good, who actually, if they win, makes a bowl, coming out and just being like amped and emotional, and Oregon just coming out flat. And I could see a scenario where Oregon State wins this game. So that's number one. Number two. Oregon State comes out amped, you know, get ahead, but then Oregon kind of settles in and they just have a lot more talent and they end up eventually winning a pretty close game. Scenario number three, Oregon is pissed. They're at home. They come out to knock off Oregon State, force a bunch of turnovers and blow them out of the water. Like the last 2 years, 2 years ago, I believe Oregon won 70-7. And last year was like 55-15. Last 2 years, they blew out Oregon State. So it's going to be one of those three. I don't know which one to pick. Which one should I pick?
I would pick the Ducks.
Pissed off Oregon. By which? Pissed off and blows them out? Or like comes out a little flat and then gets it together and beats them because they're more talented.
I mean, but they're playing Autzen Stadium. They blew them out a couple of years before. Oregon State lost against someone recently pretty bad. I would pick Oregon. It's a no-brainer.
No, Oregon State lost someone? They did lose. They lost by 1 point to Washington State.
Ooh, they're a good team.
They're not bad. No, Oregon State's 5-6. That's the thing. I don't want to use last year because they're a better team.
Oh, no, of course. Yeah.
Well, Oregon State's a much better team. Yeah, and they could almost make the playoffs this year. Playoffs.
They beat Arizona. They
beat Arizona State, who just beat Oregon. They played Washington close. They played Stanford close. I mean, they're significantly better, but okay. Fine. So you think I should go out to pissed off and then force turnovers and whoop them off the field? Fine. I'll go with that. But if Oregon loses me, I will not pick them to win over Utah. Like right as of today, I think Utah beats Oregon. But, you know, I could change my mind. If Oregon is even close in this Oregon State game, I'm not picking them.
Have you seen Crystal Ball's news conference today? No.
Did you?
No, I haven't. I'm just wondering what he said, but I guess we don't know.
I'm kind of chilling out on following them as much because I have other stuff that I have to do. So
that's good. So what's the score line here?
I guess I'll go to make some mistakes. I'm not gonna go a huge blowout. I'm gonna go like 42-21.
That sounds pretty fair. Notre Dame at Stanford.
I'm gonna go Notre Dame. I don't know why I stumbled on that. Notre Dame for sure.
Cincinnati at Memphis.
Ooh, that's a good game.
Very good game, yep.
I'll go Memphis. In Memphis, I'll go Memphis.
Iowa at Nebraska.
I'm going to go Nebraska at last game of the season. This could be really close. I think Iowa's the better team. The only thing that they get by playing, I don't even know what they get by winning. It's just like the pride. I'm going to go Iowa. I think they're just a little bit better, but, you know, it wouldn't shock me if it's, it would not shock me if Nebraska won that.
It's a coin toss, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm going to go Iowa.
Virginia Tech at Virginia.
Oh, that's my wife's game. you know what? The winner gets to go to the ACC championship. Virginia Tech has won like 9 out of 10. Virginia Tech's playing pretty good right now. I think Virginia Tech. But...
Who you got? Sorry.
Virginia Tech. And I think the winner goes to the ACC championship against Clemson.
The Navy at Houston.
Houston.
You're like hesitant.
No. Navy. Well, hey, by the way, I got to get going.
Okay, and lastly, Ravens at Rams.
Let's go Ravens.
And what is your favorite Subway sub? The spicy Italian, the turkey breast, roast beef, and the Subway Club.
Turkey.
Turkey breast. Okay, and how can people reach you?
At TurnerCast.
There you have it, guys. Sportscast.net at the Sportscast One. See you later, Tyler.
I see you.
I believe this.